Hope everyone had a good afternoon. Everyone's enjoying the weekend so far. We're a little bit hot up here. I wasn't gifted with a quiet voice. It always magnifies things a little bit more. Looking forward to some time with family. I'm sure all of you are. I'm excited to have my sister and my cousin here with us today. My cousin flew in today. My sister got here a few days ago. Excited to have them with us for the week and get to spend some time with them while they are out here. It is definitely makes you appreciate time with family when you're far away from them, and it's neat having them come in from Illinois and Texas. So excited to have them out here while they are here. We're going to look at a few different passages this evening, but first of all, I want to ask you, have you ever heard about something that just sounds amazing, but yet you haven't really been able to experience it, so you're kind of just going off of what everyone else is saying? Well, it could be a lot of different things. I've heard of a lot of different places that sound amazing to go to, and I would love to go to them, but you know, I just have to rely off of what other people have said or pictures that I've seen. You think of the Grand Canyon. Who here has been to the Grand Canyon? All right, wow, lots of people. See, if you ask that question out where I'm originally from, there's like two people and everybody talks to them, but it's not as far away out here as it is out in Illinois. It's still a long drive. You think about the Grand Canyon, it looks amazing. I'm sure those of you that have been there can testify to that because you have actually been there and experienced it. There's a lot of amazing places that you can go that are maybe like local things that people talk about. You know, each state kind of has their own claim to fame that is just an amazing place to go and see. One of the most unique states, I believe, is Wisconsin. And I lived there for the last 6 years while I was in college and getting my master's degree. And Wisconsin has a lot of really weird things. They have a cheese museum. They love cheese out there, and they have some really good cheese. But one of the most amazing things that I think I saw out there is they have the world's largest muskie statue. If you don't know what muskie is, it's a fish. It's not a very nice fish. They've got a lot of teeth. But it is a huge muskie statue. It's 143 feet long by 45 feet tall. And you can actually climb up into the mouth and go take pictures. And it's this really big thing. It's in Hayward, Wisconsin. And it's one of those things that I've heard people talk about. I was like, oh, man, it's like crazy. You got to go see that. And I never went and saw it just because it didn't really enthral me that much. I don't know. And maybe it's people of Hayward, Wisconsin really enjoy it, but never really appealed to me. And you think about a lot of different food items that people get excited about. Who here enjoys the Shamrock Shake from McDonald's? Oh, wow, only like, okay, one person that's honest here. I'm sure that there's some other ones. I'm not a huge fan of it, but I know a lot of people that really, really enjoy it. But it's kind of an anomaly because it's only available for a short time. You think about another thing from McDonald's is the McRib. Now, I had a few friends that loved the McRib, like just talked all about it. And I mean, if you love fake meat, who knows even where it comes from? I'm sure you do love that. But it's one of those things that people talk up and you're just like, I don't know if I really actually enjoy that. I have never actually tried the McRib because, I don't know, I prefer real ribs. That's just kind of me. But yeah, I've never actually tried that. One thing that I have tried and that I will talk up and that maybe some of you haven't been able to partake on this is Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is amazing. And I'm not going to spend this whole time talking about it. I probably could. But it is delicious. And the Tri-Cities definitely needs one. Then you think about things here in the Tri-Cities that are very local that people get all excited about. And the number one thing that comes to my mind, I've talked about it before, is the coffee. And you have like these little sects. And I have found out that people here are just in these little groups. And you like your coffee. You've got your Roasters people. You've got your Dutch Bros people. And you've got your Starbucks people. And I won't go into all the different types of people, the stereotypes within those. But people love it. And if you haven't had it, they're always talking it up. I do not drink coffee. So, I know. So I don't drink coffee, so all these people are always talking to me, like, man, you got to try this. I'm like, but I don't even like coffee. But this is the best, everybody has told me that. I've had people tell me that all growing up, that this is the most amazing thing. Once you try it, you'll actually enjoy it. Well, one of my absolute favorite things, and I actually don't get it a lot, even though we actually have it here in the Tri-Cities, is Krispy Kreme donuts. Has anybody here never had a Krispy Kreme donut? Raise your hand. I want to see it. If you've never had a Krispy Kreme donut, I'm not gonna pick on you. You may actually like. Okay, Alex, can I have you come up here real quick, Alex? So, Alex, you've never had a Krispy Kreme donut. That's okay, because tonight you get to try for the first time your very own Krispy Kreme donut. It's a real donut. I haven't done anything to it. I am telling you 100%, this is, I did not even touch this. I got it from the restaurant. Completely free. So, can you eat donuts?
Right.
Yeah, just take one, just a small bite. Doesn't have to be big, just a small bite.
Where is my coffee?
Where's your coffee? Well, I haven't met anybody that likes Krispy Kreme donuts coffee, so I didn't really pick up any of that. But you can just take a small bite, and then I want you to tell me what you think of it. And I did not do anything to it. He's acting very serious. It can be a small bite, just enough to taste it. It's like super tiny. Whatever you want. And then you can keep it. Yes, definitely. Would you say that's the best donut that you've ever had in the last 5 minutes? Yeah, definitely. He said it's the best donut he's ever had. You can keep that donut. Let's give Alex a hand. Thank you. I remember growing up, my dad is from the South, and they had Krispy Kreme down there, and we didn't really have it unless we went down to Texas. I remember the first time I can remember having it, that it was like the most amazing thing that I'd ever had. Because now that was good, Alex, but what I want you to do is to go there when you're driving by Krispy Kreme over there in Queensgate, and there's a sign out there that says hot now. That means that they're just coming off the line, and they like melt in your mouth, literally. Best donut in the world. They're amazing. That was the best donut you've ever had already, but when you have it, when it's fresh, it's amazing. But these things that we have, these things that we experience, we don't actually know what they're like until we experience them for ourselves. Until we have tasted what it's actually like, until we have seen what it's like, until we have visited these places, we don't actually know what it's like. Are we like that in our relationship or our somewhat relationship with God? Have we actually tasted what God is like? Or are we just kind of going off of what we think we know and what other people say? Why don't you turn with me to Job chapter 42. Job 42, and we're going to look at verse 5. You know, leading up to this is the last chapter in Job. This is the very end of the story. And I'm sure we're all familiar with the story of Job. You know, he's kind of a case example of someone who went through a lot of very difficult things. You know, what's amazing is in the first just couple chapters is kind of where everyone focuses, and we're going to kind of look at it a little bit. But then through the whole rest of the book, he's going through these trying times where his friends are really not supporting him at all. His wife turns against him. He has absolutely nothing left, and he goes through this time where he's just wondering, should I continue to serve God? But yes, I need to serve God. And then his friends are just telling him, no, you need to curse God. His wife tells him, curse God and die. You think about what happened to Job. He was faithful to the Lord, and because of that, God allowed him to be tempted by Satan and to have these things done to him. And what was done to him? I mean, think about what was taken from him. In about one day's time, Job lost over 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 10,000 oxen, 5,000 donkeys, most of his servants, except for those that were sent back to tell him what he was losing. And he lost all 10 of his children, all 7 sons and 3 daughters. In just about a day's time, everything that he had, possession-wise, was gone and taken from him. He lost his family. Just like that. He woke up one morning, everything was fine. The next day, he had lost everything. And we know throughout the whole book, as I said, what Job went through and the trials and the testings that he went through. And then we get to Job chapter 42. This is the end of the book. We're getting close to the end. We know something's happening. And Job is talking to God. And he gets to verse 5 and he makes this statement. He says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can see you. Thank you that we can experience what you have for us. Lord, I pray in the short time that we have tonight that we would be able to be encouraged, that we would be able to see how we need to trust you more. And Lord, I pray that our desire is to become more and more like you in everything that we do. Thank you now for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Job said, I have heard of you before this, but now I can say that I have seen you. You see, as Job looks back on all that had just happened to him, he realizes that his knowledge of God was nothing compared to what it now was. You remember how Job was described at the very beginning of the book of Job? How was he described? Described perfect. He was a just man. There was no one found like him on the earth. And yet now, this very same person who on the earth at that time had the closest, the best relationship with God, stated by God himself, is now looking back at the end of this and says, I only barely had just heard of you before this. Now I have seen you and now I know you. What had happened? Well, obviously we know the things that happened, but what had happened in Job's life that had made him change that? I'd like to submit to you that Job truly found out what it meant to trust God. Job truly began to learn what it meant to trust God. Because you see, if he went through this whole time just kind of leaning on what he knew about God before, even as a person who was seen as the most just man on the earth at that time, if he didn't try to get closer to the Lord and try to trust the Lord more, he would not have come out of this saying that he now knew the Lord better. It was because of his trust in the Lord, and it wasn't just staying put. He grew in the Lord throughout this whole book and throughout this whole experience that he was having. Turn with me to Psalm 34. In Psalm 34, verse 18, we see the attitude of Job. Now, this is written by David, but I really feel that if Job could put it into poetic words as David could, this is pretty much what he would have said. Psalm 34 and verse 8. The desire of David here is what we see lived out in Job's life. Psalm 34, 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good." You know, just as we can taste and see, even with Alex, we're joking around with the donut, we can taste what the donut actually tastes like, even though he had never had it before. He'd probably heard of it. Even though I have never seen the Grand Canyon before, I've kind of heard of it, but it doesn't really mean the same thing until I actually go and see it. Even as Christians, have we just simply been hearing of God? We have accepted him into our life. We genuinely are saved, but are we just kind of allowing our knowledge of God just to stay the same? We're not actually experiencing what it's like to be in that relationship with him. Or are we, with the psalmist, with David here, saying that my desire is to taste and see the Lord? And how does he say that we do that? How does he explain here that we can see the Lord? It says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." The best way that we can actually taste and see the Lord, the goodness of the Lord, is to trust in him. This is a trust that isn't dependent on circumstances. This is a trust that isn't saying, "Well, I'll trust you when everything's going okay. I have trust that God is going to take care of me." This also means that you have a trust in God when things are going really bad for you. This means that you're trusting in the Lord when you can't see where he's at in your life at that time. This means that you're trusting just as Job did when you lose everything. And you have no understanding. God didn't explain to him what was going on. All he knew is that he had been serving the Lord faithfully and doing what he wanted him to do. And yet all of a sudden, all this is taken from him. You know, Job was questioning, Job was wondering, why did this happen? And yet at the end of it, he could come through and he could say that he had tasted and seen the Lord because he trusted him. And he now could say that I now have such a deeper and closer relationship with God because of my trust in him. Turn with me to John chapter 16. When we're thinking about the commands that we have as believers now, we obviously need to go to what Christ told us. And in John chapter 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples about this very issue of trust. He's talking to his disciples about the importance of it. In John chapter 16, we're beginning in verse 31 and read through the end of the chapter. Begins with Jesus, and he says, "Jesus answered them, 'Do ye now believe? Do you believe in me? Do you believe what I've been saying? Do you trust in me?'" Verse 32, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You know, think about this. Jesus is getting to the end of his ministry. And he's telling them, he's talking to his disciples, even though they had some amazing faith, not really. They're getting to this time and he's telling them, "I'm about to leave you. Do you actually believe me? Do you actually trust in me?" And as we see with the disciples time after time again, they're always like, "Oh yeah, totally, definitely we do." And then all of a sudden they're tested, or he actually leaves, and then they fall flat on their faces. And he's asking them, "No, do you really understand what I've been telling you? Do you really see what is about to happen?" And he's telling them, "I want you to have utmost trust in me, where you're putting nothing else above the trust that you have in me." And he says, "I need you to do that, and you need to realize that there's going to be times where you fear." You see, Jesus realizes that there's going to be times where we're weighed down by the pressures of life, where things do not go exactly correct for us, or it's kind of difficult, where friends turn against us, where family members don't stand up for us, where the world is pressing down on us. You know, but Jesus doesn't just promise to be with us in those times. He does that. But what does he tell us? He promises that we can have trust in him because he has already overcome the world. We're not fighting this battle wondering if we're going to win. You know, if we're fighting it by ourselves, we're not going to win. But we are fighting it with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're fighting behind his banner. And we're fighting behind the winning banner. You know, if you could go, you're following this sports, whatever it may be, or something you're watching, and there's two sides, and you don't really have anything that you know about either side, you're just going to have to pick one. If you could be guaranteed which one was going to win beforehand, you'd probably cheer for that team. Because it's kind of fun to watch somebody win. We know who wins at the end of this battle. We know it. Christ tells us. And yet, how many times do we live defeated? Do we live not trusting? Do we live questioning God and questioning why he's doing this? You know, we see in the Psalms, we looked a few months ago at this topic about asking God why. You know, the psalmist asked God why a lot. David asked God, "Why is this happening to me?" But he still had trust in him. He always came back to that trust that he had in God. And what God is telling us, what Christ is telling his disciples here, is that we can trust in him even when it's difficult because he has already overcome the world. You know, you think of Job. You think of how he had that amazing trust in the Lord. And you think of how he was able to say, "I had only heard of you, but now I have seen you." And you think, well, that's pretty amazing because, you know, all that God did for him, you know, you would hope at the end of that he would say that. You would hope that Job, after having all these things done and seeing how God, as we know, rewards him and gives him back everything, that he would react that way. But did Job say that before or after God did that? Look back with me in Job. Too many times we wait until we see the result of the trial and the purpose it has on our life before we acknowledge God and before we acknowledge his working in our life. I want you to notice when Job acknowledged the Lord. We read Job 42, verse 5, which said, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." Verse 6, "Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." This is where Job is repenting. He's saying, I have heard of you before. I now see you. I have tasted you. I have seen your goodness. But this is before God does the amazing thing that he does here in the next few verses. Look down in verse 12, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters." Job acknowledged the Lord and repented and drew closer to him before God rewarded him and God showed him the end result of the trial. Folks, how many times do we wait until we see what God's goal and purpose is in this before we acknowledge him? How many times when we're going through a difficult time in our life and the struggles and we're just feeling weighed down by the world, that we wait to acknowledge God until everything is over? We need to have the attitude that Christ is telling us back in John, that we need to be living as overcomers because he has already overcome the world. And he that is within us is greater than he that is in the world. We need to realize that we're not going through this alone. The most amazing thing that we can tell others around us, that we can tell people that we run into in the store, we can tell people that we run into at a restaurant, that we're just crossing paths with on a day-to-day basis, is that the struggles that we're all going through, the things that we're fighting against, they are nothing compared to the King of Heaven, to our Lord and our Savior, to our Father, to the one that sent his Son to die for us. And that Son has already overcome the world. And we need to be living with that hope in our lives and with that joy on our faces. I understand that all of us have difficult things going on in our life. I would hope that none of you have gone through anything like Job, to where you've lost every single thing that you have, to where your whole family has been wiped out, to where the family that is left has turned against you, to where your friends have just totally gone against you. I would hope we've never experienced anything like that, and I'm not trying to diminish anything that you may be going through in your life. But here's what I do know. The same God that was there for Job, the same God that gave him strength to get through this trial, the same God that gave him this end result and was still there for him even when Job was wondering and kind of questioning and going back and forth, is the same God that we serve today. This God, our God, is the same God in this book of Job, is the same God that we now serve today. Our God is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what is he asking of us? He is asking us to trust him. He's asking us to trust him when it's easy. He's asking us to trust him when it gets hard. He's asking us to trust him when we don't understand. He's asking us to taste and see him. Because blessed is the man that trusteth in him. My challenge for us tonight, are we trusting in the Lord? Are we acknowledging his presence in our life right now? Or are we just kind of blending him in with all else that is happening in our life? Are we kind of just going about our week, Monday through Wednesday maybe, or then all the way back to Sunday again, and just kind of don't really think about God a lot, and we come back to Sunday, and we think about God for a couple hours, then we go back about our week? Or is God the focal point of our lives? Because when we focus on God in every single thing that we do, we can't help but trust him. Because when we recall to our minds all that God has done for us, I would hope that would bring about a mindset of trust and love for the God that loves us. And that we could then say with Job, you know what, yesterday, I had, compared to today, I'd only heard of God. Now today, I have seen him. And every single day, our desire should be to get closer to God. It should be to taste and see him. And we do that by trusting in him. Let's not look back on our day, look back on our week, on our month, on our year, and say, wow, I really... you know, I can't really say I got closer to the Lord, or maybe I even fell away from him a little bit. But let's say that we have grown closer to the Lord in leaps and bounds. And we have done that by trusting in him every single day. When we wake up in the morning, acknowledge him, trust him. Have the desire of David. You know, the beautiful thing about Psalms is that David is, and all other psalmists are so real with the Lord. They're just asking him. They're being transparent. We should be the same way. We should have that desire to taste and see him each and every day of our lives. And we can do that by trusting in him. So can you trust in him today? Can you trust in him tomorrow, the rest of this week? Because I promise you that when we do so, God is going to be with us. And we will see him and we will be able to acknowledge him in our lives. But we have to start it by trusting in him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the example of Job, the example of David, or even your disciples. Lord, we can look at so many different examples in Scripture. We could be here for hours just looking at all the different people that either did not trust in you or did trust in you, and the different results that come of that. Lord, I pray that we would be able to say that we have tasted and seen you. Lord, our desire should be that as soon as we accept you as our personal Savior, that we have at that moment tasted and seen you, and that every single day we look back and we're like, wow, I didn't even know anything compared to what I know now, because we have drawn so close to you that day. Lord, I pray that we would have an utmost trust in you in every single circumstance of our lives. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you so much for giving us more than we deserve. Lord, I pray that you would give all of us the desire to trust in you in every single circumstance that comes up in this coming week and the rest of our lives. Thank you so much for everything you give to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you could turn with me to number 478.